Church, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here. We got a lot of great visitors here today. Especially appreciate those who are here with the Mobile College Ministry. It's great to know that that ministry is active and alive, and certainly thankful for Rob and Andrea and all those who work with that. That is a ministry we here at Azalea City support. And certainly thankful to have these young men and young women who are really in the heart of darkness when it comes to going to universities and such, but they are a bright light in those communities, and I certainly appreciate that. Austin just read to us from Colossians, and in that book that Paul wrote there to the church at Colossae, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who are converted. In fact, he started the book, or started the chapter that was read to us in chapter 3 there. It's a letter, but in the middle of that letter, he wrote, if you're raised with Christ, seek things that are above. And so then he talks about some things that aren't above that they needed to get rid of. But then he closed it out with what we're trying to talk about this entire month. He said, give thanks to God in all things. We ought to sing it, we ought to pray it, we ought to live it. It shouldn't be thanksgiving, it ought to be thanksliving. And so this entire month, we have tried to focus, whether it's in our long scripture, our short scripture, or in our sermons, we've tried to talk about stories that maybe we don't think of sometimes as thanksgiving-type sermons. We've tried to focus on that, and this week is no different. It's talking about a story that's one of my very favorite stories in the Old Testament. In fact, I've preached on this story over the years several times, but try to put a new twist on it today when it comes to thankfulness. But I want to talk about this widow that Elijah encounters at Zarephath. This lady was your typical widow in those days. In 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16 is where Elijah has the encounter with her. Again, she's a remarkable woman. Her story, it reflects a lot of things. There are a lot of different lessons we can learn from this great lady's story. In fact, we can see, as we'll see today, that she lives a life, when it's all said and done, of beautiful thankfulness. But she also lives a life of resilience, and she also lives a life of faith during a time where there is a severe famine. Now, I have talked to the class, in my Bible class this morning, we were talking about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and I mentioned to them that probably every day of my life, not thinking like I should, I say things like, boy, I am starving. And, you know, I've never been starving. I have never understood extreme hunger. There are those in the world, there are those today that do understand that. And certainly there were those in the Old Testament that understood extreme hunger. And there is a time in the life of Israel that's going on now in the reign of King Ahab. Even though he's eating fancy foods, there is a famine that is going on in the people's lives. And here's a widow, and she has a child, and she and her son are starving. They're starving. Her encounter with Elijah, beyond all that, reveals how gratitude can be in our lives through every tough situation. We've said it before, and we'll say it today. If we could take and somehow take the problems in our lives and put them in the center of this room. You know, I may put my problems in there, and then you put your problems in there, and I take my problems back, right? Because your problems are worse than mine. But it doesn't stop the thought of saying that we all have problems. We live in a cursed world. We live in a world where Jesus Christ Himself told us there'll be trouble. There'll be trials. There'll be things that we go through. There'll be problems that arise. You know, and certainly I have never had a problem arise like this widow, and chances are you haven't either.
But at the end of the day, we all have things that come up in our lives. And you know, when life is easy, it's good to express gratitude. When things are going well, it's easy to live a life of thanksgiving. It's easy to sing it in our hearts and sing it from our lips and sing it from our souls. Because things are good, it's when things are tough can we express that gratitude. When there are famines in our lives, can we express that gratitude? Today I believe this lesson, this story, this beautiful scene of Elijah and this widow, I believe that it gives us an outline. It writes itself that we can take and make application to our lives and realize that when those famines come, when those trials come, when that darkness sets in, we can still, because of the goodness of God and the amazing grace of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of God, we can still find gratitude in the darkest of moments. So let's get into it. Number one this morning, I want us to think about this. The slides are not changing. We're all going to encounter a test of faith. We're all going to encounter, there we go, a test of faith. And so let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, if you're not there already. And let's read together verses 8 through 12. 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, talking about Elijah there, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Wow. Wow, what a scene, right? You see, we cannot know the historical context of this scene and still realize it's a bad scene. But let me tell you a little bit more that goes with this. First of all, Elijah, a prophet, right? When does Elijah prophesy? In the time of perhaps, arguably, the worst king in the history of all of Israel and Judah. He's married to an awful lady. It's King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, Queen Jezebel. And they want to kill all of God. They want to kill out God. It's about Baal. And Baal is just an evil god that really in a lot of ways represents Satan to us today. He was being worshipped and he was being praised. And they were setting up high places so that they could offer to this god Baal. And they want to, they being Ahab and Jezebel, they want to wipe out all those who prophesy about Yahweh, prophesy about the only true God. They want to kill all of that name and all of that mindset and attitude. Elijah was directed by Yahweh to go to this place, Zarephath. Now, this place was a town on the Mediterranean coast between Tyre and Sidon in Phoenicia. It happened to be the homeland of Jezebel. It's where she was from. And you know what was the heart of that place? You guessed it. Baal worship. All of this evil, God said, "Elijah, that's where I want you to go." Now, listen, and to the Mobile College Ministry and to those who go to secular jobs and those who go to secular schools and where God cannot be talked about and all of this. By the way, they can't take God out of school as long as you keep God in school. They can't tell you that prayer is not in school when you can bow your head and pray in silence. Now, I want God back in school, all schools, but I'm just telling you, they can't take Him out of the workplace. They can't take Him out of schools. They can't if we don't allow it. But all that to say this, there's a lot of darkness going out, and God, as sending, He is sending us, right? He's sending you. He's sending us into this darkness. Why? To illuminate it. To light it up. We're the called out. Now Elijah at times he struggled with that just like we do. Why me, right? Why me? Poor pitiful me. I'm the only one left, he said. Of course God told him, no, you're not. I got thousands that hadn't bowed the knee. But he said, Elijah, go to this place. It just so happens to be the homeland of the queen who hates you and hates me, and it is indoctrinated with evil worship. But there's a widow. There's a lady there in this terrible famine. She's going to provide for you. So we meet this widow in this scene, in this drought, in this famine, and she's down to her last bit of food. Really, she doesn't have any food yet. She's got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. Enough to bake one more cake or loaf of bread that she and her son, they're going to eat it, and after that meal, they will starve to death. And she knew it. She understood it. Her hopelessness is understandable. We haven't been there. We haven't been in that extreme situation, but I can understand it. Can't you? I can see it. I can feel it for her on a small level. And then she encounters this stranger. She encounters this prophet of God, Elijah. And he asks her to take that food, take that bread, and give it to me. Talk about a test of faith. Talk about an opportunity to say, no way. To talk about an opportunity to say, I can't do that. You see, this test of faith, there are going to be times in our lives that we're going to have those tests of faith. Is it going to be to that extreme? Certainly, I hope not. But there will be opportunities in our life that our faith will be tested. In that moment is when thankfulness and gratitude, if we will allow it, will grow. It will grow to a point that it will overflow. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. You see, we think in this story, it's a story about this widow. And it is. This story is about the widow, but this is just as much a story about God providing for Elijah as well. In fact, let's go back and let's read the first part of 1 Kings 17. Beginning in verse 1, let's go through 5. Now Elijah the Tishbite said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by this brook, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread, think about an amazing story, and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So verses 1 through 5 tells us in this chapter that God will provide for Elijah, and he did. Now go down to verse 9. He also tells Elijah here, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." We think it's just a test of the widow. It's just story about the widow and God providing, but it's a story about Elijah as well. What a test that Elijah had. God had promised Elijah that He would provide for him. And here in these verses that we're studying today, this widow plays a major role in God's providence. You see, the root word of providence is provide. Do we believe in the providence of God? Certainly, I hope we do. Because I believe God still provides. I believe He can use any person, any moment, any way He desires to provide for us our blessings. Blessings come from all different places, right? This morning I was going to get my microphone, as I normally do before, after a fellowship and before we come in to worship. And I stopped just by the door, and we keep a record of attendance right by the door. And certainly the one who was counting this morning, Travis, brother, you got to listen. 198 is not good. Okay, it's got to be over 200 at that point. Okay, you don't. I tell kids at school when they would max, don't stop at 95. Don't get to 295 and not put 2.5s on and bench 300. Right? It's a big difference. Don't get to 198 and stop. We got pregnant people here, bro. So we got over 200. We got over 200 in Bible class alone this morning. Now, I know I got you laughing, but let me say it again. We have over 200 in Bible class alone today. Now, I recognize Mobile College Ministry probably helped with that. But that says something about you. It says that Bible class is important. And it is. But to me, that was a blessing. You see, I walked in with a bigger smile on my face when I saw that, and I knew somewhere along the way I'd talk about that in the sermon today. But there are blessings everywhere, and we got to look for them. We got to open our eyes to them. You see, when we realize there is so much to be thankful for when we look for blessings, when we look for good, when we look for God, we realize that the bin is not empty. There's so much to be thankful for. And we got to tell it to ourselves, God will provide, God will provide, God will provide. This entire chapter is about God providing even when our faith is tested the most. Yes, we focus on the widow having very little flour, very little oil, and rightfully so. But how about Elijah? He didn't have any food. He didn't have any water. And God still provided. You, me, we may just have a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, but we need to remember that God will always provide. But He's got to be at the center of our lives. He's got to be the center of our households. He's got to be the center of everything we do. So, in the tests of faith, God provides and we learn gratitude. Number two this morning, we always must choose obedience. Turn back now if you're not there. 1 Kings 17, let's read verses 10 through 12. So he, Elijah, set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring," we've already read this, but I wanted to reread it for this purpose. "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." The widow said to Elijah, "I do not have." I do not have. And in a sense, I see it, don't you? She didn't have. She didn't have anything to give him. She didn't have any leftovers. I cannot give you this bread because I just have enough for my son and I to eat it and then die. God, I cannot give you anything because I don't have enough in my checking account. God, I cannot give you anything because I still have bills. My house note has to be paid. God, I can't give you anything because you know Christmas is coming up and I've got to be able to provide gifts for my family. I cannot give you anything, God, because I don't have it overflowing in my life. The widow said, I can't give you this bread because I don't have a lot of bread. What she did have, though, was flour, oil, and sticks. Flour, oil, and sticks to bake a fire was enough to make bread. She couldn't make a lot of bread, but it doesn't really matter how much bread we can make. We may not have all of that overflowing in our lives, but all of us have a little bit of flour in the bin. God isn't asking for us to write big checks. He's not asking for us to give everything we have. In fact, He doesn't need our money at all. He's the one that made gold. He's the one that makes everything valuable, everything that's valuable that we know. He doesn't need money. He's just asking for a little bit of your flour and a little bit of your oil. It's not about amount. It's about attitude. It's about service. It's about choosing to obey God over everything else. You see, when I choose service, I choose to be thankful. I choose a life of thankfulness. This woman did not realize it, but she was a part of the providence of God to spare the life of Elijah, to feed him, to nourish him, so that he could keep professing the name of God, Yahweh, in front of all that darkness and evil. If you and I will choose obedience, Elijah said, give me the bread. If we will choose obedience, our bins will never run dry. Thirdly, this morning, we need to see that once we do all that, we'll experience blessings in abundance. Let's read verses 13 through 16, please. Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards make something for yourself and your son. He's not asking for all of it, just a little bit of it, right? For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. You see, this widow, from this point forward, you know what she experienced? Blessings in abundance. Her faithfulness also overflowed. Can you imagine each meal that she was able to go to that bin and to that jug and put together and bake? Each meal was a reminder of God's faithfulness. and certainly a reason to be thankful. Every time she poured flour from the jar or oil from the jug, it was a great testimony of God's goodness. And I can only imagine that deepened her gratitude. When's the last time we stopped and we thanked God for the things we have? Suppose you get up in the morning, and we all hope to get up in the morning. The first thing we need to think about is, thank you, God, for waking me up. Then perhaps you will go and to the restroom, and perhaps you will brush your teeth. Maybe get a sip of water. We need to thank God for clean, running water. Maybe you'll go and you'll get a bath or you'll get a shower. We need to thank God for hot water that just flows out. Then we're going to go and get dressed. We need to thank God for a closet full of, and drawers full of clothes that we have to choose from. Do I need to keep going? Thank God for getting in our vehicle. Thank God for going to work, going to wherever. Can we go on and on for days? We're not in the situation she was. But sometimes we forget how blessed we really are. Sometimes we're given just what we need rather than an overflow. What does that mean? We need to rely on God even more. The widow's thankfulness wasn't a one-time event. It wasn't that, hey, this great thing happened. Thank you, God. And then go about the rest of her life. I believe it was sustained by God's daily provision, which reminded her continuously of God's love and care. You see, true thankfulness depends on our obedience. True thankfulness depends on our setting aside time to remember what's in the bin, what's in the jug, what's in the jar, what's in the pantry, what's in the closet, what's in the drawers, what's in the account. We can go on and on. True thankfulness deepens as we see God providing and we reflect on it in both big and small ways. So you know what that leads to? Of course, there's always that test of faith. There's always the idea that we need to choose obedience. Then we need to understand we're going to experience blessings in abundance. And it leaves us with this, being thankful in all circumstances. Do you realize it wasn't her bread? It wasn't, right? It wasn't her flour. It wasn't her oil. And it certainly wasn't her sticks. All of that belonged to God. Every bit of it. We also must never forget that everything we have belongs to God. So you know what we need to do? Give it back. Do you realize if I borrowed my neighbor's car, say my car was broken down, and I went to my neighbor, and they're a good neighbor, and I said, hey, can I borrow your car to go to the store? Sure, Terry. Here's the keys. Do you know what I'm going to do when I get back from the store? Typically, I'm going to go give that car back to them, right? Why? Because it's their car. They just let me borrow it. They didn't say, hey, here's this car, keep it. They didn't say, here's my car, steal it. They said, here's my car, with the assumption that I would bring it back because it belongs to them. What are we doing with what God's given us? What He's loaned to us? My money? No. My time? No. My talents? No. My money, my time, my talents, they aren't mine. They come from God. And we need to give back. Isn't that why the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, to present your bodies a living sacrifice? I'm thankful to God we don't have the Day of Atonement anymore. And I'm thankful to God that I'm not a priest where I got to go through that bloody mess once a year just to have my sins atoned and make that sacrifice. What a bloody scene it was. What an awful scene it was. So was Calvary, by the way, so that we didn't ever have to do that again. But it still requires sacrifice. If we truly want to experience thankfulness, if we truly want to still experience God and the blessings that overflow, we must give back and learn to be thankful in all circumstances. Thankfulness isn't rooted in abundance. It's rooted in faith. The widow here teaches us that thankfulness doesn't depend on how much we have. For instance, if some people here's bank accounts are bigger than others, right? That doesn't mean the one that has the big bank account, they need to be more thankful than you. Does that make sense? Let's just use it in numbers. If I have $1,000 in my bank account versus having $10 in my bank account, that doesn't mean I need to be way more thankful over here and I don't have to be very thankful over here. We got to be thankful no matter what's in our bank account. We got to be thankful no matter how many talents, no matter how much health, no matter how much time, no matter how what age we are. When we recognize God's hand in our lives, we learn to be thankful in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul learned to be content, even from a prison cell. But he also learned to be thankful. The widow acted on her thankfulness, showing us that real gratitude often involves giving and often involves sharing, even when it's difficult. You see, this widow gave out of her need, not out of her abundance. Thanksgiving is coming up. And many of us will have so much that we'll have leftovers, right? And those leftovers will be good for a few days. Well, let's suppose 3 months from Thanksgiving, February, I invite you over to my house. And I go into my refrigerator and I pull out the leftovers from Thanksgiving. You might eat them because you're like, I don't want to be rude. But you're going to sit there and think, this is awful. Why is he feeding me these old nasty leftovers? What do you think God thinks every week? Nobody enjoys cold, nasty leftovers. Neither does our God. He doesn't want you to give out of abundance, but out of love and sacrifice. As we get ready to close today, I have one simple question to ask. And it's this. What's in your bin? What's in your bin? Now, your bin today could represent your checking account. It could represent your time. It could represent whatever. But I want it to represent your life. What's in your bin? What fills it up? Does work fill up most of it? Does hobbies fill up a great chunk of it? Does whatever? Or does God? What fills up the majority of your life and my life today? You see, this widow, in a life of Baal worship, she recognized Yahweh. She recognized, through Elijah, the importance of doing the right thing. She went on to live a life, as we know it, of thankfulness, because that bend, until God ended that famine and drought, never ran dry. Today, what are you willing to give up to experience thankfulness, to experience gratitude, to experience God's provision and blessings that will always overflow? If something's blocking you from experiencing God, we got to get rid of it. You know, I said this morning, and I won't go into detail about it, but my friend Jason here, he's in a lot of heart surgeries where people will have in their arteries blockages. And these blockages can cause death. Now, he may go tomorrow and save several people's lives because they removed those blockages. But in order for the blood to flow, they got to get rid of the blockage. In order for Jesus Christ's blood to flow in our lives today, we got to get rid of whatever's blocking it. Today, if there's some sin holding you back, some other part of your life in your bin that's holding you back, get rid of it. Or if you need to experience God for the first time through Jesus Christ by being immersed in water for the remission of your sin, what's holding us back? Steve is about to lead us in a song. We all have the opportunity. Do you want your bin to never run dry? We'll respond to the invitation right now together. We stand and sing.